You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We've got a great guest today. Many of you know Bill Carpu, the CEO of Octane. So we're going to get a chance to dig deep into Octane and find out a little bit more about what's going on with Octane. There's some big moves coming up in the near future, making some big splashes in how companies in Orange County can participate in Octane. So welcome, Bill.
Thanks very much, Will. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you became the CEO of Octane.
Well, it's a little bit of an interesting story. I've been in California since 1998. What brought me out here was a bigger company to run the western part of the country. We eventually sold the business to Rico, and I then went into private equity. I was an operating partner at Blackstone, and running a company actually in the Detroit area. And at that time, as we exited that particular investment, looking for the next thing to do, whether it was staying with Blackstone in private equity, I was contacted by several board members of Octane and asked if I wanted to join the organization. The current CEO, who had done a great job, was moving on to something different. And my first reaction was, I don't know, I've never really run a nonprofit before. Is that really the right fit for me? And the more I dug under the hood and spoke to people, it just seemed like a tremendous opportunity, really to take something and white sheet it and, be able to make something even bigger out of what was already running pretty well.
So you had some great plans when you got here.
Yeah, I look at it, I think what I really kind of key from my perspective is that I've gone into companies before and fixed troubled organizations, and this was anything but that. It was being run really well financially. Octane was in great shape. It had a very good following, and what I kind of envisioned was a different trajectory for the organization and where we could go, and an addition of services and products that we could bring to the market and really help accelerate and elevate the ecosystem, the innovation ecosystem here in Orange County.
So when you look back from the time that you came to now, what would you pick out as being the biggest highlight?
There's a couple of different things. I mean, first of all, there's just a personal satisfaction level of coming to work each day and knowing that you're helping companies. You're helping create jobs. You're helping the economic development of the area and really building something. But more so than that is just the observation that I've had in the evolution of the ecosystem. If I look back, and I've been here, it'll be 5 years in April. When I first came, there were a lot of people, as I met them for the first time, on my board, sponsors, partners, just people out in the ecosystem that were really trying to convince me that there was not an ecosystem here. And I started to accept that. I started to think, wow, there really isn't. And then after a while, kind of peeling that back, found that there's a tremendous ecosystem here in Southern California and specifically Orange County. So I think a personal satisfaction level is just that's kind of been created. I've seen it evolve. I've seen a lot of organizations get involved and the collaboration that's really gone on. The other thing is I just love coming to work every day. I mean, I love my job. I think I've got one of the best jobs you could possibly have. And, at this stage of my life, it suits me really well.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. When you use the word ecosystem, what do you mean by that?
It's a broad term in a lot of sense. When I look at it, I look at it around innovation. So it would incorporate the investors, the entrepreneurs, the professional service firms that help these companies grow, and the small and mid-sized businesses, as well as the large institutions that basically provide some level of support for these organizations, either in guidance or financially. So it's really the community. It's the innovation community. And how can it all come together?
Well, if someone wanted to join the ecosystem, want to become part of this, how would they do that?
Well, of course, you could become a member of Octane. That's one way. But there's a lot of other organizations out there too. And we really we ask, we encourage organizations to get involved. If it's not with Octane, it's with someone else that's basically supporting the innovation ecosystem. Now, you know, of course, in my role, I'd be misplaced if I didn't think that we're at least the you know, one of the top choices, if not the top choice, you know, from that perspective. But get involved in what really suits you. Okay, so I think there's different entry levels too. If you're an investor and you're a later stage investor, Octane's a great place for you to become involved. If you're a really early stage investor on the angel round, maybe one of the incubators is a better place. And by the way, I think what's important when we talk about engagement and involvement in the ecosystem, it's not an either or. So it doesn't mean that you have to choose one organization or choose one route. The most impactful individuals that contribute to the ecosystem have multiple lanes that they're playing in with multiple organizations, and they're contributing across the board.
Well, as you think about the coming year, what are you most excited about?
I think the component that I would be the most excited about is really our OES platform. That stands for Octane Enterprise Solutions. It's a revenue model shift on our part. So, you know, one of the challenges that we've had is a nonprofit model is just really not scalable. It doesn't enable us to do all of the things that we want to do when you're completely reliant on sponsors and members. So OES was created in part to create a different revenue stream to Octane, but more importantly, to create a greater sense of urgency for companies to grow, stay here, and create jobs. So we like to think of the platform as speed to revenue and speed to operational efficiency or capital. So when you look at those two combined, what we're really excited about with OES is the impact it will have on organizations to grow, create jobs, and sustain themselves here in Orange County and across the Southern California region.
Well, as you think about encouraging innovation in the community, what would you say are the top three limitations or constraints to a company growing, moving forward in the innovative community?
And in that question, you're talking more about a specific startup?
Well, startup, or could be one that's in a later stage. But what are the barriers? What are the constraints?
So I'd say there's three that that really come to mind. One is capital or lack of capital, which is going to impact smaller companies or early stage companies more significantly. The second is talent, and we see that more and more, that as we're creating companies that create jobs and have needs to fill jobs, there's just not a match necessarily with the talent that's here. And the third is operational expertise. As a younger company, do you have what it takes to really grow the company, move up the revenue chain, and the relationships to grow your company? So those are three that the OES platform, again, focuses on very keenly.
All right, so capital, you bring capital by attracting investors to be part of Octane. And what would you say, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is our capital resources in Orange County today?
So there's a dual answer in that. So one is that, for the most part, companies that are fundable, we have been able to achieve in getting them funding. The caveat in that is the majority of that comes from outside the area. So if we were just measuring the availability of capital, and when I talk about this, it's institutional capital that's headquartered in Southern California, it's very limited. So if you as an entrepreneur do not have deep relationships with investors outside of this area, if you do not rely on an incubator, accelerator, or organization such as Octane, you're going to have difficulty getting funded. The majority, I'll just give you a more recent statistic. We had a record first half of 2019 in terms of capital that companies that have used or come through Launchpad raised. As a matter of fact, we eclipsed the entire number that we did in 2018. It exceeded $300 million. Which is the good news. The bad news is only 3.3% of that came from Southern California. The majority came from either Silicon Valley, Boston, or New York. And actually, the majority came from Boston.
Well, now, does that reflect that there is a paucity of capital in Southern California, investable capital?
It's an interesting point. And what there is, and I think we all probably know this intuitively, there's an enormous amount of private wealth. There's an enormous amount of wealth that exists in Southern California. However, it's still the majority of it is tied up in real estate and other hard assets and not necessarily in venture. So when I say about the lack of capital, it's probably not on a per capita basis or an individual basis. It's institutional capital that's headquartered here. Part of it could be because there's venture firms that are an hour flight away, and some of the bigger organizations, whether it's NEA or Kleiner Perkins or Sequoia, and they certainly have investors from Southern California. But we feel an important attribute or important component of building an ecosystem is to have headquartered-based capital here. And the reason for that is, I'll just give you an example, Boston being a big source of capital, when you look at that, the majority of those investors in a Boston VC firm are from the New England or at least the Northeast area. So once that firm comes in, invests in Southern California technology company, medtech, technology, whatever, at the end of the day, the proceeds, the profits of that investment and the fees all go back to the Boston ecosystem. So while it's great for the company that's here, while it's great for the management team, while it's built that company, it hasn't had the type of implication positively that it could have on this community, on this ecosystem, if that capital was headquartered here.
So would you say that we're house rich and cash poor?
That's probably a decent analogy, yeah. Now, with that, one of the things that we've incorporated recently, again under the OES banner, is to create a private investor network. So kind of bypassing the fact that eventually, we're gonna work with other organizations and bring more venture capital here that's headquartered here. And I could talk about that in a moment because we have done that directly with Visionary Ventures. But specifically, we've brought individuals to the table that are high net worth, that are investors in early stage companies, and we've tried bringing them into some of the earlier rounds that companies need that have difficulty. And those could be $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollar rounds. And what we're providing that specific investor with is a set of data and analytics that enables them to make that decision with a little bit less emotion and more data-based.
All right, so there's one source of capital is individual, high net worth individuals.
Correct.
And another source is institutional investments from major companies that make their living out of investing. And what are we doing to grow, attract, facilitate those major investment companies? Do we have any in Southern California?
So and there's also a third source, which is strategic. So mm-hmm. your bigger medical technology companies and bigger technology companies generally have a venture arm, mm-hmm. and they look to make investments and really minimize their, it's like small R, big D. Right. So, reduce their research expenses.
But those don't tend to be headquartered in Southern California, do they?
Well, some are, but you're right. There's only a limited number of those companies that are here. But going back to your question on the venture, we've got relationships, and again, many organizations have relationships with investors, big institutional investors outside of this area. And what we do is we show them deals. So we're facilitating those discussions. Mm-hmm. That capital is coming in. The missing piece is how do we get new venture firms to be actually headquartered here,
right,
raise capital here? And that's a much slower slog. So one of the aspects is there's an organization right now that is out and very actively pursuing a master fund that will be invested in organizations that will focus and put a headquarters location here. And they're going out to companies on a company basis and helping raise that master fund. The other thing that we did a couple of years ago is we founded a firm called Visionary Ventures. Mm-hmm. And so Visionary Ventures was has been a very successful fund, ranked as one of the top medical technology funds specific to ophthalmology. It was created in 2015, has had terrific results to date, two liquidity events, returned almost all the principal to the initial investors, and you know, has had substantial returns. We're now in a second raise of Visionary. So, you know, I feel we're doing our part in that. But whether that fund, and I mean that fund may end up being $100 million at the final close. You know, we don't really want to disclose any specifics on that at this point. But whether it was 100 or 500 million, it's such a minimal impact on what Southern California really needs. You know, we just want to encourage more sources of capital to be headquartered here.
Well, why is it that Boston and Silicon Valley have major fund, major institutional investors available?
Well, there's two parts, and if we look at Boston, I just happened to be there last week, and I was in an accelerator that said that they've got VC firms in their building that have over $8 billion in assets under management, AUM. I don't believe that we have $8 billion across all of Southern California, let alone in one building and in one accelerator. So what we're really doing, and I mean, if you look at the reasons, I mean, Boston was built around MIT. Boston had a little bit of a head start in terms of the evolution of the ecosystem, pulling it together, being collaborative. And Silicon Valley kind of was created the same way. I mean, that is where venture firms went to be headquartered. I think one of the distractions that we've had is that Southern California has been looked at as four distinct ecosystems: LA, Orange County, San Diego, and then Riverside, San Bernardino, or the Inland Empire. And I think one of the things more recently, over the last year and a half, there's been more emphasis on Southern California as a region, not as three or four separate and competitive ecosystems inside of one. And that's beginning to attract more capital. When you look at Silicon Valley and you use that as a reference, and it's almost like saying go Xerox something, Silicon Valley isn't just Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is downtown San Francisco. It's the East Bay. It's the surrounding area. Boston's not just downtown Boston. It's frankly the entire New England area. And the same thing could be said for New York. It's not New York City. It's Long Island and North Jersey and Connecticut and Westchester County. So, you know, I think as we broaden out the branding and all of Southern California, one of the results that we'll see, one of the consequences, will be more headquartered firms here.
Well, that's very interesting, because it seems to me that there's been a tremendous capital flight out of L.A. into other areas. And so to the extent that Orange County can help stem that flight and begin to focus more on how to bring capital here, so that not just the resources, because resources can come from a variety of places, but also the returns, that the returns can be reinvested here.
Well, you know, again, I think that's key on anything. And I mentioned Visionary, and there's another firm, Miramar Ventures. I mean, both of those organizations have created very strong returns for investors. So returns are always going to attract more capital. There's no question about that. And, you know, so what we're really starting to look at also are companies that have taken outside money and just what the investment returns have been on those, because they've sat here as Southern California innovation, Southern California technology. So regardless of where that capital came from, what has that company been able to produce in terms of an IRR, mm-hmm. investment results? And as we start to backtrack those numbers and recreate them going forward based on valuation shifts and changes in speaking with the company, there's a picture that's being painted here that the companies in Southern California are providing above average returns.
Right.
So one of the other things when you hear that makes you feel really good about the innovation that's going on here, but it does become a competitive climate for organizations that are in another area of the country, need to invest. We happen to be one that was going to provide really terrific results. I'll just add one more example. One of the things that we hear commonly from East Coast investors is, I love West Coast innovation. I'm not real fond of Northern California valuations. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's no question it's a more expensive place to create and build your business. And as you look at that, a comparable company in Southern California versus Northern California is going to carry a much higher valuation and going to require a much greater investment or less equity interest from the investor. So Southern California companies have become very attractive.
Well, now, when you talk about innovation, what constitutes innovation? How do you define innovation in a place like Orange County that just has enormous numbers of businesses?
Well, you've got technological innovation, you've got consumer innovation. I think what it is it's really creating an idea around a specific technology and then moving it forward into something that's commercialized. So if you kind of look, and AI is something that's a little bit misunderstood today. AI meaning artificial intelligence, and it's not an industry. So what is it that AI impacts? And the technology behind AI is, it's in medical technology today, so it impacts patients. It's in a variety of any kind of technology that's used, whether it's cybersecurity, it's a B2B, it's B2C. So, I think as you look at that, we define innovation as something that's going to improve the quality of a business, improve the life of a patient on the med tech side.
Mm-hmm. So now, what role does the board play in helping this ecosystem, this innovation ecosystem?
The board at Octane is very engaged. So we have we're blessed with a great board. We ask all of our board members to be ambassadors of Octane. We ask them to attend board meetings, and we're a little bit unusual. We've moved from a 4-cycle quarterly, because that's kind of what you're supposed to have, to 3 board meetings a year, and it just fits the business practice a whole lot easier. We ask them to attend our signature events, our big tech and med tech event, and serve on one of the committees that supports our 5 strategic pillars. And those 5 strategic pillars are: accelerate business formation and growth. So in other words, create companies that create jobs. Create alternative services to drive sustained revenue. That's our OES platform. Grow our core revenue, which has become more centered around some of the content and the conferences that we do. Convene and enable the innovation ecosystem. So, I don't think one organization can be the convener, but we could be a key convener. And then really build the Octane brand. And there's a lot of new branding coming early in the year as we do refresh the Octane brand. So we ask our board members to serve on a committee that provides support to one of those 5 strategic pillars.
And how do you measure that progress?
Well, we've got metrics on almost every one of those. So some of them are revenue, some of them are attendance. Measuring the impact of your brand is a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. A bit of that is just, what are people saying is your brand? And you and I were talking about this earlier, mm-hmm, before the show. If it takes somebody 2 months of discussion to understand completely what Octane does, it doesn't mean the brand's not good, because I do believe that the brand stands on its own and the brand has a high quality connotation to it. What we're trying to really get to is a point that people really understand the full suite of services and products that Octane offers, regardless of what your persona is. So whether you're an investor, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a service provider, you know, whether you're a strategic executive, what is it that Octane does for you? What would your ROI be, and what would the value of that relationship be?
Do you have any? Are there any figures on how much capital Octane has assisted companies in not necessarily placing, but providing for startups?
Yeah, we do. And that's one we track very closely. So our launchpad process works with approximately 40 companies a year. And it fluxes a little bit. This year it'll probably be about 45, 46. But that starts with a nucleus of between 350 and 400 companies. So once we get to this 40, they're very well defined. They're the top of the class. And we find that on average, 86% of them get funded within a 15-month period. Since 2010, those companies have raised over $2.3 billion. So it's very sizable. Now, you know, again, Octane has assisted in those in both direct and indirect ways. And, you know, part of the Launchpad Accelerator is to really help companies prepare for that institutional round of funding. And with that, and with the returns of these companies, there's been over 20 liquidity events so far. That platform, that Launchpad platform, and Octane itself are very highly regarded inside of the investment community.
Hmm. Any figures on number of jobs that Octane has assisted in creating?
Yeah, and you know, this one, Will, is an important metric for us because there's a lot of emotion behind it too. And when I talk about raising $2.3 billion, the average person knows that that's a big number, but doesn't really know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
And it's good. Mm-hmm. It's very good. But when we talk about jobs, that seems to emotionally reach just about anyone, mm-hmm. because we've all got an interest in creating more sustainable jobs here in Orange County, whether it's personally for ourselves, whether it's the future of our kids so they don't have to move away from here. So we track that very closely. We do it at the end of each year, and our job creation number through 2018 was just under 10,300 mm-hmm. Jobs, newly created jobs. The average job that's created by Octane is approximately $83,000 a year. So it's classified as a high-paying job. And you know, our goal, our stated goal that we created last year is to create 55,000 jobs by the year 2030. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where we'll end up this year. We'll do those measurements sometime in January, you know. But I would estimate that we're probably north of 12,000, probably getting close to 13,000 through the end of 2019.
Excellent. Well, can you stick around a little bit? We're going to take a little break here and come back, and then talk about how the community can help Octane.
Would love to.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months. And the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, People G2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit peopleg2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or peopleg2.com.
Well, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405 on this beautiful day in Southern California. We've been talking with Bill Carpu, the CEO of Octane, and what he shared with us is that over the period of time that Octane's been active, they have helped they participated in creating 10,300 new jobs, and these are high-paying jobs, $83,000 a year median of each job that they've created, with the goal of, by 2030, creating 55,000 new jobs for the Orange County ecosystem. And so what I want to begin to talk about, Bill, is as we look forward, what is your vision for Octane and Orange County? over the next few years. And I understand that you're even becoming part of this great park venture.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So we're excited about that. Five Point, which owns and has developed the Great Park, we have a strategic partnership with them as an organization. I think, as you've probably seen, the City of Hope is locating a campus there. They're not relocating from Duarte, but they're building a new campus. So you know, there's going to be an enormous health institute, but we will be putting an innovation center there sometime next year. As you know, as construction goes, I was 2 weeks ago, I was saying it'd be sometime in the first quarter, and I think we're now into the second quarter. But you know, in any case, we're really excited to be part of something that we really believe is going to be a center of gravity for Southern California innovation for a variety of reasons. First of all, the management team and Emil Haddad personally is just a visionary in terms of how they view the impact that the Great Park could have in Southern California. This is more than an innovation center. It's a facility, it's a location that will be work, live, be entertained, sports, food, I mean, really just everything. So if you really kind of think about this, it's almost like building a city from the ground up. And so, you know, we're excited to play an important role in that. And, you know, we think it'll give us an opportunity for identity of our own. It'll allow us to put an incubator, have really our own space from that standpoint. And as I mentioned, really build this as a center of gravity. The rail lines, which we don't tend to talk about much here in Southern California, convene right there. So companies that locate into the Great Park will be able to pull from San Diego or down from L.A. So we think that'll be an attractive...
Out from
the Inland Empire.
And without being on the 91.
So, you know, that becomes a very important strategic move for us. But beyond that, you know, I think it's... The vision for ourselves is really to integrate Southern California into this innovation network of Southern California and have collaboration between multiple organizations. And as I always say, we want to become the best version of ourselves. People will often ask, do you want Southern California to look like Silicon Valley? First of all, that's not my decision. I whether I wanted to or not, I don't even have the ability to really impact or influence that, because it's such a mega question. But at the end of the day, you know, I think we become the best version of ourselves. I don't believe we should look at Silicon Valley and say, hey, let's replicate what's up there. Because what was built there was 30 years ago. It was special. It was a different time. And if we try and chase that, we're always going to be chasing it. So why not really become the best version of what Southern California has to offer? And, you know, that's going to have a little bit of a different look to it. And I think it's more focused to the key technologies and the key industries that are here and the strengths of the region.
Well, and what I notice is that there are, in Silicon Valley, it was a lot of that had to do with Berkeley and Lawrence Livermore Labs and Stanford. And in Boston, a lot of that had to do with
MIT.
MIT. And yeah. Here we have UCI. And UCI is a tremendously strong, powerful, world-class research university. And building around that seems to me to be beginning to understand that that's more than just a small college that people get to go to.
Yeah, I think you're right, Will. I mean, UCI is a great partner of ours. They're a great institution. And at the same time, one of the differences that we have in Southern California is we are also not dependent on any one institution. Mm-hmm. So as you highlight UCI, you know, let's not forget about UCLA and Chapman and USC and Caltech and UCSD. And so in many instances, when you kind of look at Boston and you center around MIT and you go to Silicon Valley and you center around Stanford, they become maybe more of a one-trick pony. And I think we've got a greater level of diversity and a much greater university ecosystem also. And it doesn't underscore it, you know, it doesn't suggest that any of those organizations are not tremendous. We just have more than one, and that's great for us.
Well, one of the things that I found out in interviewing people from the launch pad at the your event, the MTIF event, was I was amazed that they were so articulate about focusing on improving client results. I didn't hear a lot about how much money they were going to make or how famous they were going to be. It had to do with how many people can we help in this health sphere? How can we help their results come out? And it was amazing to me to hear that over and over again.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're saying that, because having come really from pure tech and not med tech previously, everything was around customer centricity. And when you really look at the med tech companies, it's patient centricity. And it's patient outcomes, it's patient results. So, I agree with you. Now, you would have a different spin if you talk to tech companies. They're not as focused on the outcome for the customer than as they are for the development of their own business. It's just because you don't have the emotional attachment to a patient.
Well, what I've been fascinated with is what Peter Diamandis is doing up in Santa Monica with his work with Singularity University and with Focus 360. What what I hear out of participating in that is the focus is on how do we make the world a better place? How do we solve these major problems? And I don't see the connection yet between Octane and the other organizations in Orange County and that kind of forward thinking, which feels a little like Silicon Valley, but it's right here in Santa Monica.
Yeah, you're right, and he's done. You know, he has done a very good job on that. Part of that is there's a Silicon Valley mentality that he's mm-hmm. brought down to that, and you know we're working our way through that. But you know, just go back. I mean, 3 years ago, this was very siloed. So mm-hmm. you know, if you take a look at where we were as a variety of different organizations solving that, you know, I would tell you that we were very scattered. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not even sure that we have the same endpoint. We knew we wanted to make the place a better place, but what really was that? Mm-hmm. And I think today you've got organizations that all have the same endpoint in mind. What's the endpoint? What's it mean? What's it mean, whether it's in terms of company creation, job creation, patient outcomes? And now the final layer is to just find the proper level of collaboration and intersection between all the organizations to leverage that. And, you know, not be repetitive on something someone else is doing and doing really well, but be more reliant on it.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting to me is would be picking up on people like David Asprey, who is doing a lot of things, is not in med tech, but is in health tech. I mean, he's coming across with brand new ideas and challenging the status quo, similar to Peter Diamandis, and to somehow get them into the conversation that Octane is having. So it's not just a conversation with ourselves, but we're really inviting in those people who may not be here, but certainly are connected to here, and bring in that kind of excitement, enthusiasm, and dedication to changing the world.
Yeah, see, I mean, you're giving me a good idea on a couple of names here as you're bringing that up. It's not that it hasn't been started though. You know, we have some good relationships right now that we've started to build from the Denver ecosystem. I mentioned mm-hmm. Boston before, mm-hmm. and New York. So what we're doing and have done over the past 2 years is getting the perspectives from other ecosystems that have been successful, and probably to some extent will maybe moved Silicon Valley, because it was such an obvious mm-hmm. and as I said before, we don't necessarily want to just fall into and follow that model, because I think that's a bit of a fool's errand. So, So what have been some more recent ecosystems that have developed and learned some lessons from them? So, you know, we are very open to, you know, as I said, Denver, Salt Lake City, New York, Boston, learning from what's worked for that for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a particular advantage for us to become Silicon Beach or Silicon Orange or something like that. We have our own way of being in the world, and what I'm really curious about is what would happen if we dropped these very significant, committed people, not just necessarily from Silicon Valley, but around the world, who are challenging the status quo. In many cases, what I hear Octane doing is challenging the status quo in Orange County, because Orange County has a lot of retired people, a lot of retired wealthy people who are here, and perhaps without being challenged, their purpose is to enjoy life, enjoy their grandkids, you know, make sure that their investments are doing fine. And what I see Octane doing is challenging that mentality to saying, we can be an innovative center, we can make some difference. And what I'm curious about is what are the differences that we want to make in the world? And how do we take what I observed in listening to the Launchpad people, that in their specific niche, they were challenging and they were making a difference? And how can we become that place, that Orange County becomes a place where we, as an ecosystem, are challenging the places that are constraining us?
Yeah, you know, If you again kind of look back, we actually had a retention problem a couple of years ago. That companies that were started here, got initial funding here, vacated and left, mm-hmm. and they left for a variety of reasons. One was investors wanted them closer to them, mm-hmm. But the real reason the investors wanted them closer to them, they didn't necessarily have confidence that the ecosystem here could support and right. help grow that. We've gotten past that. Mm-hmm. The incidence of companies really leaving has diminished to almost a nominal portion from that standpoint. So I think as you look to correct anything, you need to correct retention first. Mm-hmm. So we've done that. Now there's some great initiatives underway to bring companies globally into Orange County. So the Irvine Chamber, for example, has led a delegation over the last 3 years to the UK to help bring UK-based companies here to Orange County. That does not mean they're closing shop. It means this is where their U.S. headquarters would be. Mm-hmm. And isn't Orange County a better place maybe than the East Coast, because it gives you a jumping off spot to the Asian markets? It's the fifth largest economy in the world. So if you can make it in Southern California, I'm sorry, California as a state, you've made it in one of the largest economies. And I want to tell you there's six or seven companies that have agreed to make that move and locate here. So I think the next step in this evolution that you're kind of talking about is, how do we as an ecosystem now attract companies to actually move here? Mm-hmm. And whether that's internally from the country, or whether it's just establishing a good position here in Orange County and Southern California, that's the next step that we've got to embark on.
And doing that would attract capital.
Sure it would.
And it would certainly attract talent. And when you attract that talent, it also becomes a model, a template for other talent to either build or to accumulate around that organization.
See, now it's interesting because it depends, I think, on what side. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think as companies move in, your talent becomes even more robust. But the other day, I was in a fairly good-sized organization here, and another. I won't name them, but Google's increasing their footprint here, and they viewed that as very negative, mm-hmm. that Google would be pulling some of their employees.
My point exactly. Yeah. We're talking to each other.
Exactly.
We're not talking to the world. Silicon Valley talks to the world. Boston talks to the world. That's our next step, is to talk to the world and to proclaim that we are more than a wonderful beach community with great weather.
And that's a great piece, and that's going to be part of our culture. Uh-huh. And there's an attraction on that, but it's got to be viewed. We've got to be viewed as one of the top spots, if not the best place, to right. start your business, to get capital, to grow it, and then to live the lifestyle that you want to live.
I think that is a wonderful additional piece. But the real challenge is getting the people who are committed to making a difference in the world.
So I'm, you know, I've got a I've got a bias right now that you were talking before about we're talking to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've got and we continue to try and push is individuals, organizations, and the community getting more engaged in what we, Octane, are trying to build. But again, I look at this and broaden it out. It's the universities, it's all the other organizations that do things similar to us. How do they get engaged? Mm-hmm. And we still have too many people on the sidelines. And what happens is there's a scarcity model. So the amount of organizations or the amount of people that could supply the capital, that could supply the resources, the human resources, mm-hmm. the talent or anything is limited. And so it becomes a zero sum game is that when someone comes in and takes some of that, it takes it away from someone else. Because we're talking to each other. So yeah. a big portion of this and the piece that I implore to the audience today and in any of the discussions I have is we need to get people off the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And we'd love everybody on the playing field. Frankly, I'd love people even if they were on the sidelines right now. If I use the football analogy, we still have too many people that are in the stands, and we've got a lot of people that are rooting us on, but they're still tailgating in the parking lot. Let's get them into the stadium. Let's get them on the sidelines and eventually get them onto the field, and that's just going to build a stronger ecosystem for all of us.
Right. Well, I can sense we're going to have a great conversation moving forward about how to move this conversation about Orange County into the world, so that we're really talking about how do we make changes in the world that are going to be significant for patients as well as job holders, people in schools. How do we make some significant impacts on the constraints that we have in the world today?
Well, you know, I think as you look at this, a lot of that is going to tie back to the medical device companies, mm-hmm. and the medical companies. So you look at Edwards Life Sciences, for example. I mean, absolutely. They measure everything in terms of patient outcomes.
Yes.
If I look at Visionary Ventures, you know, the fund that Octane founded, it impacts, the 9 investments impact over 27 million people, you know, throughout the world, just those 9 companies. So it's more about building that type of innovation and focusing on what our core competencies are, mm-hmm. here, ophthalmology being one of them, mm-hmm. medical device being another.
Excellent. Thanks, Bill, for being with us today. This is exciting, and it sounds like there's a great conversation that's moving forward with Octane and the rest of the Orange County ecosystem.
Thanks very much for having me, Will.
Take care. So there we are, one of the key people in Orange County, talking about the future of Orange County, the future of Octane, and the future of the innovation ecosystem. Another way of seeing California businesses thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.